Hi, my name's Mira McCoy. When I was a child, I was very high light color. My mother, who's an African-American, she was a darker color than me. So a lot of times as a kid, my mother would face racism, asking them, oh, is this your child? Or whose child is this? When I was her own child, I used to get called names like Oreo because of my light skin.
McCoy is a senior at International Preparatory School at Grover Cleveland High School on Buffalo's west side. As she described the power of racism in the local community, McCoy told us she's learned over time prejudice and hatred is not only against her. Instead, she describes it as self-affliction hate by others.
A lot of times, oh, you speak proper, you speak white, is because a lot of children don't have the same kind of opportunities as the other ones. So because of that, it's more of a retaliation towards each other instead of than at me.
What is it like to be an African-American teen in Buffalo, New York right now?
I always worry about who's for me, who's against me. Because a lot of times there's always this one voice that's always heard. And it's not the minority, it's not the people of color. It's a lot of times those who stand. And I read this one article that said, white people use your white privilege so that the other minorities can speak up. That's the thing about it. When you acknowledge your white privilege, you acknowledge you have this privilege, you're able to open doors so that the other people could get their voices heard.
My grandma didn't want to tell me about this, but did she put signs up on the door saying, we don't allow racists in this house? And I'm like, why did you put that sign up? Who are you referring to? Who's saying something about me? Because I'm the only black person in the house. Well, Jen called you the N-word. She doesn't like you.
Another International Prep senior, Caleb Graham, joined our conversation about racism. Graham says he now lives with a white woman because his family could no longer care for him.
She's a white woman who took me in. I always avoided speaking to her about racism and segregation privilege because I was scared. I was scared about what if she has a complete opposite opinion than I do.
Graham says, as an African American, he's also faced racism.
You had asked me if I ever experienced racism, and I did. It was at my house. It was at home. We have a white lady. She's our neighbor. She's the daughter of the lady I'm living with. But then she called me the N-word. She's like, yeah, I said it. Her excuse was, but I didn't mean it like that. We don't even know what the N-word really means. I meant it in the sense that you are not smart, that you are stupid.
I have to just do things like 10% harder in order to like reach that goal.
For Emily Jimenez, a senior at Buffalo Seminary, she says she's never experienced racism. But as a minority student, she's always striving for equity.
Being to a school where it's like predominantly white or like a bit more wealthier than me living in the West Side, it's like you can definitely see those different experiences in the lives of people.
Jimenez, Graham, and McCoy were among several other students who recently received Community Leader Youth Awards from the National Federation for Just Communities. We asked all three what possible solutions could make a difference in fighting racism.
What can we do better? We need to be able to move people in the city out into the suburbs and just have conversation with them. People in the suburbs into the city and take us out there. We need to open up dialogue. Somebody has to be brave.
I think we're probably going to be the ones to help like make that change of like raising children. Like it's been so much stuff. It's been like history has been made. So like we've gone little babies like 9/11. We've been through the increasement of like mass shootings. We've been through like increasement of the Black Lives Matter movement, like civil rights coming back to that.
Listening and understanding, having empathy for one another, because we're all at the end of the day, we're all made of blood. We have muscles. We're all going to bleed the same blood. And if you acknowledge that, then that's the best thing you could do is show your humanity for one another.
They also point out that many disparities remain in the city. As the downtown region gleams with new economic development, parts of the East and West Sides remain in poverty.
And one thing I always see in where I live is the poverty rates or how my community is affected by the things that are pushed upon them. Systematic oppression that's happening from like where grocery stores are laid out to where the next corner store is to how the streets may look or how if there's a bump in a road that has not been fixed for like 6 months.
I don't want to throw Mayor Brown under the bus or anything, but I've been living in Buffalo for a long time and I don't understand why the East Side has been in the shape it's been since I've been a little kid.
Eileen Buckley, WBFO News.